Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, and today my guest is Joy Laverde. She is a visionary and passionate advocate for elder awareness and elder care. She is the author of Who Will Take Care of Me When I'm Old? And the groundbreaking bestseller, The Complete Elder Care Planner. The American Medical Association says of Joy's work in elder care that it's the best book we've seen. Over 30 years' experience as a media spokesperson, Joy's appearances include The Today Show, Good Morning America, CBS Early Show, ABC News, Fox News, National Public Radio, and Sirius XM, along with many others. During her career, she's been quoted in all major print and media publications, and among them, USA Today ran a four-part series on Joy's elder care work and programs. An advocate for the elderly since age 14, her seminar sponsors give her the highest praise. The prestigious National Institutes of Health says about Joy's keynotes on the topic, "The seminar was superb, best one we've been to. The praise doesn't get much better than that." Welcome, Joy Laverde. It is such a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much. I get overwhelmed just hearing all this work that I've been doing. But not really.
You didn't realize how incredibly productive you've been, did you?
It's wonderful.
There's a little bit of noise in the background, so whatever is being moved around, if it could not be moved around, it would be most helpful.
It's just, the story of my noisy household. I am all clear now.
Okay, absolutely. Joy, it's remarkable. Your story starts as a result of wanting to get extra credit in your class, and you were the teacher asked for volunteers to go with her to a nursing home, and you said, being smart, "Oh, this is my opportunity. I'm going to be able to go and get some extra credit for the project you were working on," and off you go. And lo and behold, you went to the nursing home and had an experience. It was an impact that you had when you walked into that nursing home. You felt an impact because you saw things that didn't quite feel right to you. So do you want to tell us about the impact that your first visit to the nursing home as a part of a field trip to enhance your grade in the class?
It was definitely a field trip to remember for a lifetime. I walked into a nursing home, and what made it most profound is this is Thanksgiving morning. And this was the day that I thought everybody was going to be somewhere with family members in a house filled with love and music, as I was going to be experiencing. So the dark contrast that I saw regarding seven people sitting in the dark, and knowing what I was going to be going home to, I couldn't quite grasp what that was all about. And that was the visual that I took away from that dark, cold, rainy morning.
Wow. So your empathy and your compassion for what you saw, which was, as we talked about in the pre-interview, this was loneliness. This was isolation. This was not belonging. This was not caring. This was not being part of community or family.
Right.
And you come right. from a very close family, and you know, resonated with the fact that these people were not going to have the love or the comfort or the safety or the sense of family or stability that you were going to have. And so you said you kept going back. You made it a yearly mission to visit a nursing home every Thanksgiving. Tell us about that.
Well, my intention was to continue the community feeling as I would go to different nursing homes all over the country. So that was my idea. And I was pretty naive at the time. I thought, well, that's okay. Every Thanksgiving now, I'll create my own personal tradition. And I'll go visit anybody who happens to be alone on Thanksgiving, and the world will be okay. But the more I did this, and as I did this throughout the years, into my teens, my 20s, my 30s, the more I did it, the worse I felt. And I knew that I had to do something about it. But I didn't know exactly what I was going to do, because I knew that I wanted to do something about it.
Well, that's really remarkable. You had your calling. You had your purpose identified early on. However, you from there proceeded to take a different road and got married. You went to college for 2 years, and then you got married and you started having your family, yes?
Yes, I always was intending on being useful, whether I was home. I had great role models, my mother and my grandmother and my aunts and uncles. So that I, whatever I did, I knew that I wanted to be purposeful in my whole life. It was just a matter of time before I would put two and two together and see the impact of loneliness, as you call it, an isolation and a lack of community. So it never left me. College was not in my cards. Family was in my cards. And that was all I wanted. But I wanted it on an unrealistic level for people I didn't even know.
Really? So what you're saying is that in your, I don't want to say naive, but let's say you're loving, maybe slightly romanticized way.
Right.
You wanted to provide and see people have what you felt you were experiencing. And isn't that a tremendous sense of generosity, a generosity of spirit that we often don't see today? So there you were. You got caught up, though, in your family and raising your children. And then, unfortunately, you found yourself as a single mom having to work and having to take care of your family. Now, you then went into the whole area of communications, marketing, advertising, and PR work, right, which has actually had a purpose for you in the future. But tell us about
right.
what you were doing and how you transitioned from raising your children and working into actually starting to do this wonderful work that you're still so much involved with.
Well, the discipline of marketing and advertising and public relations requires that I have the ability to think through complex problems and then display them in front of people who might be able to grasp what it is that I'm trying to communicate. So I thought the same thing as it related to elder care. Here's a very complex problem. And how might I communicate that to the world about being able to communicate to each other, just what needs to be done within a family? And of course, that could take a turn on many levels. So I applied what I knew and learned in those first years in college. I went to the best Jesuit college. The Jesuits taught me how to write. And I applied the principles of good communication to this complex problem called, let's get families together talking about elder care. And one thing led to another. And that is exactly what I did, is I came to the idea of writing a manual, it was a manual at the time, on helping people take apart all these complex problems, look at them individually, and then put them together in an order that will help them move forward as a family. You know, most people think that elder care is a need associated with their aging parents. Well, I don't see it that way. I see it as a family need. The whole unit works together. Even if it's an only child and a mother, it's still a family unit.
Right. So you coming from a very strong family, mm-hmm. Your perspective of this whole thing was coming from that this, and it truly is, I mean, if we just look at it practically, isn't it a family affair? Isn't it about relatives? Isn't it about, you know, your either birth family that you were born into or the family that you bring into this world? It really is a family affair. So you had this vision, you had this idea, but then you said, right, you said that all of this kind of evolved because you mm-hmm. sought the wisdom of an older Sicilian woman. I love
right.
See, but the listeners, you got to understand something. Joy is Sicilian, and I'm half Sicilian. And when you talk to Sicilian people, they don't consider themselves even Italian, no? So when you're talking Sicilian, you're talking a whole language here, a whole culture.
Yes.
But it was so funny because I said to Joy, I said, oh, it was kind of like you walk into the room and she's all dressed in black with a little lace mantilla on her head, and you grovel and say, oh, blessed Mother Mary or blessed Mother Margaret or whoever, whatever her name is. I am just so privileged that you will advise me. And so it's like a scene from The Godfather, you know. It looks like that. But how wonderful. But she wasn't like that at all. She was wise, and she's still wise.
Yes.
She's a good, good, strong woman. So tell us what this character, this movie character, said to you about this.
Well, I came to her in total doubt, knowing that what I was currently doing and what I really wanted to be doing were two different things. But the crazy thing was, is I didn't really know what I wanted to be doing. And she asked me a series of questions that I thought were totally unrelated to why I had chosen to see her in the first place. She was asking me what I was like as a child. She was asking me who was important to me. She asked me if I had a pet. She was asking me things, and I was saying to myself, where is she going with all this? But then I began to relax and trust her judgment. And that was the key to just letting her guide me in her own way. And sure enough, by the time we were finished talking, and we did not talk very long, it was maybe 40 minutes, she ended the conversation by saying, I now know a lot more about you than I did before. So I want to ask you, Joy, what is important to you? And I knew right away. I said, old people are important to me. And she said, what's the problem? And I said, I just found out many old people are alone. And she said, what's the solution? And I said, well, I don't know right now, but I'll get back to you in about 2 weeks. And it was this incredible foundation of trust and love that she had put in me that she, without saying anything, told me in her own way that I had everything I needed to come up with a solution to the answer to that. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, I knock on her door and I say, I have the answer. And she said, what is it? And I said, it's a book, and it is a book about families, teaching families how to talk to each other about the highly sensitive subject of elder care. She said, go write it. And I did.
Wow. So I remember you said to me, she asked you, now that you know the problem, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
And
that's
so
right.
You went off and you wrote the book, The Complete Elder Care Planner. Now, share with us what happened when it first came out and then what happened after it caught fire.
Initially, the book was self-published. I didn't even know what that meant at the time. This is 1985. And that just meant I went to a printer. I got 1,000 copies of this manual. And I began to distribute it. And my marketing sense told me to go talk to corporate America, which I did. And I would knock on the door and I would say, elder care is your next employee benefit. And they would say, okay, we want to learn more. And I gave talks all over the country. There wasn't a moment of peace as soon as this book came out. And people wanted me over here and over there and just to do these brown bag lunches for the employees. And I did. But I soon began to realize that I could not manage getting books where they needed to go and give talks. And so what I did is I sought the sort of publisher through a literary agent, and Joe Durapus, who's my agent, is still with me. We're together in this for the long haul, and so he and I have begun this journey. So he quickly sold the book to a publisher, and that allowed me to be even freer in terms of getting out there and continuing my elder care advocacy. So that began a journey I never knew was going to happen, simply because I thought once you write a book, you're done. But little did I know, that's just the beginning. That is the very beginning. People will tell you once you write a book what they would like from you. And if you're wise, you will say, okay, what do you want? And if you're serious about what you wrote about, you'll figure a way to be there for them in the way that they need you to be.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we're going to talk more about that. You took quite the journey. I mean, you've done so much work, so much media. You're a seasoned veteran of media, all the top networks. And we're going to have to take our first break. I can hardly believe the time has gone whizzing by. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how you traveled across the country, all the different places that you spoke. And I mean, it's very impressive, Joy, that the American Medical Association and the National Institutes of Health, I mean, hello, you know, that's kind of, I don't know that your work could be better endorsed, of course. So when we come back from the break, let's talk about, you know, it was remarkable. It was like it was meant to be. We'll be back.
Yes.
Don't go away, listeners. We're coming back with Joy Laverty.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL. HEAL. 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing Behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
And we are back with Joy Laverty, who is the author of Who Will Take Care of Me When I'm Old and the groundbreaking bestseller, The Complete Elder Care Planner. Joy, what a journey you have been on and continue to be on. You started at 14 with a compassionate feeling in your heart towards people who were sitting in the dark on Thanksgiving,
yeah.
Quiet, alone, silent, and it touched your heart and moved you and changed your life. And so after raising your children and, going on to become a single mom, you wrote the book. Literally, you wrote the book. So The Complete Elder Care Planner, you really broke the ground for this. So tell us about, I know you went so many places. Tell us about your travels across the country, what you heard from people, you know, the kind of concerns and how you kind of broke open this whole topic and really got people engaged in talking about it.
Well, one of the repeating conversations I would have in the early stages of my being on the road is the family caregivers, sons and daughters, would come up to me and they would say things like, well, I can't believe my parents are aging the way that they are. And I would say, what do you mean? And they'd say, they didn't make any plans. They won't talk to me about money. They won't move out of their house. They're going to fall down the stairs the next time they do the laundry. And they would go on and on and on about all of the things that they were witnessing as a family caregiver. So that was in the early stages, and many of the people who came up to me were in absolute burnout. They were throwing up their hands, and it was a tough road for them. And it was all I could do to just say, you here, these are some of the strategies to get help. And I would work with them, or actually I worked with organizations who would help them. That's my business is a B2B business, not a B2C, which means I work with the companies that work with the family caregivers. So that was early on. Then something amazing began to happen about 10 years ago. So I was beginning to, you know, never quit actually being on the road and being sponsored by elder law firms and insurance companies, senior housing, all these wonderful communities across the country, financial planners. I would speak to any organization's customers and clients as long as it would help them plan ahead. So again, after I would be have given a speech or what have you, people once again would come up to me after I would talk and they'd say, you know, my parents are very well taken care of because they have me. But who's going to take care of me when I'm old? I'm not going to count on my children, and I can't count on anybody. Who's going to do this for me?
Yes.
And that's when I knew about 10 years ago that we had come full circle. Now the question is front and center for all of us.
Yes, and that is the title of your latest book, Who's Going to Take Care of Me When I'm Old?
It's a zinger, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, and I was saying to you at the pre-interview, you nailed it. I mean, wow, what a topic. It was perfect. And yet you had mm-hmm. some really upsetting reactions and responses to the title because it really hit the nail
yes.
on the head so hard. Because isn't that something we are all thinking about? Maybe when you're not thinking about it when you're 20, but when you're in your
right.
30s and you see your parents
yes.
getting older and, you know, they go into the hospital for the first time or they're walking with a cane. So tell us about that evolution, because that was another. It seems like you're on the right time trajectory with all of these things. So tell us about that.
You know, I've always been being in marketing or being in advertising means you're a little bit ahead of the curve just because that's the training we have. And so basically when the Elder Care Planner came out, I got the same reaction. People kept telling me their parents were fine. And I'd say, okay, well, here's the book just in case, right? And I don't argue with anyone. And then the same holds true for who will take care of me when I'm old. The reaction is, you know, this is a tough thing to go toward. I don't want to talk about it. It's a thick book. This is tough, you know, and on and on and on. And yet, you know, when people tell you it's not something I'd give, you know, as a present, you know, you've nailed it. That's exactly what you do, is you begin to open up the dialogue on the most difficult of questions. I'm not even talking about death and dying. I'm just talking about who's going to take care of me. And then what does that mean? Care for me. What does that mean? But there were so many assumptions, and it's been so good because the people who do understand are going toward this with a vengeance. And that's the greatest thing that I've been experiencing is companies now are coming to me and they're saying, you have pretty much told me without saying it that I am not positioned for the people who are aging solo. And I need to be. My company and the financial stability of my company is going to depend on it. Will you help me? And I say, you bet I will.
Well, yeah. And there are issues that come up. Now, I want to mention some of the, you know, you and I are mature seniors. So let's mention some of the issues that come up for all of us. Number one is control, autonomy, sense of self. I'm going to tell you about 10 years ago when I heard my children talking about me in terms of being, you know, diminished in my normal capacity because I used to be a whirling dervish. I never stopped moving. And I actually chose to slow down because as you get older, you realize the folly of pushing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And my children started talking about, you know, like, well, when mom, you know. And I bristled so hard at that. I said, you know, wait a second. When did you become the parent,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
And when did I become the child? And I think there is this transitional thing, and we should talk about that, because there is a time, psychologically, where the children become very aware that the parent is aging. And you'll hear people say, oh, man, you know, I went to visit my mother. I hadn't seen her in about a year. Whoa, she's getting older. And you can hear the awareness and the legitimacy of the concern. And then the parent, of course, we want autonomy. We want control of our life. And we don't want to give up our sense of self. So talk to me about the many, many things. I'm sure the listeners want to hear about, because these are the points, you know. These are the, the talking
critical
points that go on in terms of when we start approaching this subject about who's going to take care of me.
I feel very strongly about this statement, and I say it every time I speak. There is no such thing as parenting your parent. And the minute you approach a parent as though you are the boss of their life or in control of their life and decisions, the communication door will be slammed in your face, just like you experienced. So there was a little setback there, but it sounds like we have a nice, healthy family. You get back together and you say, okay, let's not talk like that anymore. This is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to sustain this and that. And then it opens up a conversation. But when a child makes an assumption that they are there to take over, that's when all hell breaks loose. That's the first golden rule. We never upset that apple cart.
Yeah, for me, it was more, I was thinking of donating my body to the body farm, you know, where they experiment on your body for medical science.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest son, he was just carrying on.
Yeah.
And I said, wait a second. I said, whoa.
Yeah.
But the point of it is, I think that these are natural things. I mean, my children, we have wonderful, wonderful relationships, and they really regard me, because I live by myself and they're living by themselves. They regard me as an independent individual, which I am. But the point is, I think these are the dialogues and the concerns and the conversations that go on. And you're right. The minute a child starts to presume to take any kind of control away from the parent, this is going to set off a terrible conflict. So can you talk to us about the stories you've heard about these things? And yes.
Well, I think they're obvious. The relationships become damaged, and sometimes they can't get back together. That's the saddest of all. In some of my workshops, I remember, I say this all the time about the parenting your parent business, and inevitably someone says, but it's so much faster just to tell my mother what to do. And it's so much faster. I just dragged her over here, brought her over to the assisted living and said, Mom, you can't live here anymore. This is your safe place and I'm done with it. I hear that all the time. But these two people have a relationship that we will never know how it turns out, but I can't imagine it being very good.
Yeah.
In my own family, now this is really subtle, and I hope your listeners get the subtlety of what I'm about to say. The relationship comes first. I don't care what's going on in your life with your parent. Your parent is not a problem to solve. The relationship comes first. So when you walk in the door or when you're on the phone, you don't need to say, hey, Mom, how are you feeling? What? Do you get the subtlety of, hi, Mom, how are things in your life? What's new with you? What did you
right,
do today?
Exactly. It's subtly condescending and controlling. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And our parents don't change because they might end up using a cane or a walker or get Alzheimer's or whatever happens. They remain our parents. And our job is to facilitate their life as they dictate, as the parent dictates, as long as they're safe and secure, to their last breath. Then there's the stories I hear about how children decide how their parents are going to die. And that they fight it tooth and nail. No, you know, I want this for Mom. I want that for Mom. How about asking Mom what she wants? And then honoring it. in my own family, I have arguments up and down all day long about something. My mom lived with us in our apartment building. So I spent the most time with her. And my mother, over Wheel of Fortune, told me 1,000 things that she wanted to have done. 6 o'clock every night, me, mom, and Wheel of Fortune, we had our conversations. So that after my mom died, my sister tried to undo all the plans my mom wanted to make. And I said, I am sorry. This is not about you. Your mother wanted this. She put it in writing here. Mm-hmm. And you just, we're not in charge, but we are responsible for having some pretty tough conversations. That's what we have to do. That's our job.
Right. And I remember during the pre-interview, you were talking about taking the lead from the parent with regard to, like, you know, what they want. And to talk about, you were talking about true wellness. Of course, there's a physical, an intellectual, a social, and a spiritual. And I think the thing that is so wonderful about today is we talk a lot about mindfulness. We talk a lot about being present. And I think when it comes to, you know, respecting other people, whether they're our parents or whether they're people we work with in the office, it's about really learning to be respectful and mindful of what other people desire for themselves. So mindfulness becomes a real a kind of teachable moment when we're dealing with our parents because, yeah, and now that I'm getting to be older, I mean, I had my parents and, you know, I was involved with them as they aged and what have you. And now that it's kind of I'm next on line here, you don't want to give up your autonomy. And I think people need to realize that. Nobody wants to give up their autonomy. They don't want to be told what to do. They don't want their control taken away from them. And this is where you see so many conflicts. But you were talking about, when we did the pre-interview, you were saying that getting older is harder and harder, that it's getting harder and harder to deal with because, you know, we have to deal with the fact that, and you put it so, I never thought about it this way. I never thought about this. You really opened up a whole topic. Who am I now? And what is all this age for anyway? Like, okay, so when, you know, I was growing up and maybe when you were growing up, a person retired in their 60s and generally they passed before they were 70. Some lived longer, some didn't. But today you've got, my father was 101 years old when he passed, Joy.
Yeah.
What do you do? What do we do about all this? <You
know? laughs> Right. What is all this age for anyway, right?
Right.
Well,
right.
The deal is your father's 101 and your 101 and my 101 are a totally different experience. Your dad did not know he would be 101. You have a real good idea. You may live to 101, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to live to 101. So it's like, okay, yeah, no one's talking about the quality of those years, but we are talking about an extra 20, 30 years. Some of us have the advantage of planning. Your father did not. So that's a whole different ball game. We're going to be like this big aging population of people who have every chronic condition under the sun. Oh, that's going to be interesting.
Oh, let's hope not. Let's hope that the wellness movement, which is alive and well, for a lot of us, you know, let's hope that the wellness movement, because look, I'm just going to interject because I've been in healthcare for just so many years, but the anti-aging understanding is pretty simple. When you really look at it, the number one most important factor relating to aging, believe this or not, is exercise. The speed at which you walk, the amount of movement you do, how much exercise, how many hours a week of exertion and exercise you do equals the many years that you will live. They've actually calculated it, very sophisticated. And
I have a story for you. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
When my mother moved in with us, she was 86 years old. She had moved back from Florida. Her husband had died, not my father. When she landed on our doorstep, she could barely walk. She was falling all over. She was getting a little dizzy. She was lethargic, depressed, you name it. And one day I walked into her apartment, and there she was sitting on the sofa with a bag of ice on her shoulder. And she had her head down. In her Italian mama way, she said, "Honey, aren't you going to feel sorry for me?"
Yes, I know.
And I looked at her, and I sat down. I was very calm, and I wanted to die, but I just said, "Mom, you're at a fork in the road. Tomorrow morning, I'm going downstairs, and I'm going to get on the treadmill," because I do that every morning. "And now that you're here and you're living under in the same roof, I invite you to come down there and join me. Because what you have now, you can go this way and call it a day. You can come with me and get on the treadmill."
Exactly.
And from that day on, all I did was invite her. I didn't say one word about her ice pack on her shoulder. What she got, now, another thing that I did not do is I was not the one who initiated the phone call every morning to say she was ready to go down. My mom had to call me. So that led me to believe, to know that when she didn't feel like it, it was A-okay that she didn't go.
Right.
But from that day forward, Mom went on the treadmill no less than 3 times a week until the day she died, which was a couple, like 4 months ago, 92.
Oh, wow. Good
and for that day on, her entire body and mind changed.
Exactly.
Everything changed because she got on the treadmill. She started at 5 minutes and worked up to 10. She worked up to 25, and that's all she needed, 3 times a week.
That's excellent.
I
emphasize to people all the time, if you do one thing for yourself, one thing, you don't have to diet, you don't have to go crazy with foods, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, meditating or whatever, which is wonderful, but exercise is the number one longevity. Mm-hmm. The number two, which is very interesting, is listening to your body about how much sleep you need, not exhausting yourself. And I think men in general, older men, get up very early in the morning, and they have a tendency, you know, to do that. Like their whole life. And if they don't rest and they don't nap and they don't listen to their body, it really takes a toll. So good sleep, restful sleep, you know, making sure that you listen to that in your body. Of course, the other thing that's so important is not being alone, having a community, a connection, social, whether it's your family or your friends or your community or your church or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, last but not least is not eating a lot. It's not even so much what are you eating, but cutting in half whatever you used to eat, because we don't need that much as we get older. And of course, talk to us about trying to tell older people this stuff. Yeah, right. Like they want to be told what to do.
No, not at all. It was just perfect timing for that conversation that I had with my mom. It's just perfect timing. And timing is everything.
Wonderful. Timing is right because it's time for a break. Okay. We're going to come back again. We're going to finish the last segment of our show. And when we do come back, you talked about legacy, okay? That was something that we discussed, and it was a great conversation. Let's talk about legacy when we return from the break. And also, we will have an opportunity to talk about planning. And, you know, you can speak to all of us about, you know, the wisdom and the flexibility that's required to be a good planner. So don't go, everybody. We'll be right back with Joy.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way.
What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals, to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
And we are back with Joy Laverty, who is an elder care visionary and very passionate advocate. She is the author of Who Will Take Care of Me When I'm Old? Is that not a great title? And she is also the groundbreaking best-selling author of The Complete Elder Care Planner. Joy, before the break, we talked about something we discussed in the pre-interview, which was legacy. And you had a lot of really wise things to say about that. So can you repeat that and share your insights about that with us?
Sure. It comes from hearing this particular topic over and over and over again, and that is the topic of I've got too much stuff. Can everybody relate to that? We all look around the house and we go, where did this stuff come from?
Yeah.
And we all accumulate like this lifetime of stuff. Well, it dawned on me something that my mother did a while back, that she was indeed creating a legacy for herself and for her own mother. And I put two and two together, and the story goes like this. One time my mom came into my room and she said, come on, sit down on the sofa. I want to give you something. I said, okay. And she immediately handed me a pair of scissors. And I knew exactly where those scissors came from. They were sewing scissors from my grandmother, who I had seen darning socks. Remember when women used to darn
socks?
Oh,
yes.
And so I remember that my grandmother would use those to do hems, and then my grandmother had passed, and then I remember my mom telling me that Nonna had given these scissors to her. And so my mom made my wedding dress, and she would make me clothes, and she taught me how to sew with these scissors. And so the day that she handed me these scissors, I am very clear that if my house were on fire, what I would grab would be these scissors. Scissors, they are worth their weight in gold, and they are the most precious thing I have of several generations of strong, loving Italian women. And that someday I will hand these scissors over to my daughter, who I also taught sew and made her clothes. What we have done and what I have been taught is this is how you might leave a legacy. It isn't all about giving millions of dollars to a college. I mean, if you have that, that's great. But look in your closet, look in your drawers, look in your purse, look at your purse, look at the things you have. What tells a story that you can give to someone who will cherish it like I cherish those scissors? This is what it means to leave a legacy. So someday someone will be talking about you, looking at this object with love and kindness and reverence.
Right, and it can be in any form. Legacy means lots of
anything.
Things. It means lots of writing a cookbook for your children, leaving them the formula that made your business a success, or whatever it is. I think the important thing is what we're losing a bit in our culture, and I'm sure you see it, especially in terms of the family dynamics of today. All of this social media and this electronic communication, we're losing our sense of connection with our hearts and with our loved ones. We were talking in the pre-interview, and you were kind of, you were alluding to some of the things you've seen, with families, how they treat their elders, how they treat their mother, their father, their siblings, what have you. And I think that legacy sometimes is just love. It's just a history of maybe, a doll collection, or Lord only knows what it is. But I think what I liked about what you were saying is having a conscious awareness. We've got an additional 20 to 30 years. We're living 20 to 30 years longer than we did 50 years ago. So if we've got this extra time, why don't we become more conscious? And I think one of the upsides of that, don't you think it makes our natural passing of from this world a more a more streamlined and less stressful process for us as well as for the people we leave behind?
Yes, and when you say it's all about awareness, I mean, death is not a foreign subject. We talk about it without talking about it. And that's okay, because all of this, we're all going to the same place. And there are different ways to express how we are with someone physically and emotionally, and really genuinely loving each other. You don't even have to like each other. Just genuine love for the fact that you are together. And that's valuable, very valuable. And I'm not necessarily talking about family. The reason I wrote the second book is because many of us, as much as we try, may not be surrounded by family when we are old, just by circumstances. We have no control over that. So friends, we cannot take our friends for granted. They become very much our family, as family does. Everybody's moving around, everybody in your space is important.
Exactly. I want to share a story with you. This is a great story. The building I work in, the woman who managed it for, I think, over 50 years, was 86 years old when she retired, okay? Because she hadn't planned, and her daughter, who got divorced, bled her dry of all of her savings. She couldn't go to an assisted living, and she wound up going to live with her son in a remote, remote part of upstate New York. This woman was a pistol. She was beautiful. She was active. She was in great shape. Do you know that she died a year and a half after she retired? And I suspect, like in the old days, when people retired and they died within a year to a year and a half, so much of it has to do with getting isolated from her friends. She didn't have a social connection. She was with her son, but it didn't matter because the people that she, you know, had intimate, you know, friendships with, and they weren't there. So what you're saying is so critical, because friends, sometimes we think friends, family is more important than friends. But as we get older, that may not be the case, right?
Exactly right. In fact, I'm pretty strong. I have a very specific things that I talk about in my book regarding friendships and being the kind of friend that I want to be surrounded by in my old age. I talk about friends all the time. You know, what's interesting is I was giving a talk at a Chicago Public Library two nights ago, and we were sitting in a circle. It was just a nice, intimate group of about 20 people. And we were all talking about, you know, who's going to take care of me. And everybody was going around the room and talking about everybody. And one of the women raised her hand. She said, "Isn't it interesting? None of us have said anything about our children." And I said, "Yeah, isn't it?"
Yeah, isn't it amazing? Nope. Because that conversation 40 years ago was very different. You said something.
Right.
You said, aging is another one of life's challenges, and none of us age in a void, that it affects everyone and everything. And you know about the sandwich generation, those who have young children and those who have elder parents. And I think you've said so many wonderful things, like right now, whether you're 40, whether you're 50, whether you're 60, think about, what do I want when I'm older? And am I cultivating community? Am I cultivating friends? Children don't want to take care of their parents anymore like they used to. You know,
but we didn't raise them. We didn't raise them to be caregivers. Our parents raised us. No, we did not raise our children to be caregivers. We said, "Get out there, work hard, and go be something, will you?"
Exactly. They want the inheritance, but they don't want to take care of us.
It's okay. That's the way it is.
Joy, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the program, sharing with our listeners. Very important topic. You know, preparation aging, and you know, planning is not dying, you know. And I think that that's the startling thing is that people are treating the topic of preparing and planning as if it's death in your face. I think we have such a death aversion that we don't even want to start the conversation long before it happens. So thank you so much for being with us. This is a wonderful conversation that we all need to have. And listeners, don't forget to join us again next week for another educational, inspiring, and uplifting discussion on Living Above the Drama.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives, changing behavior, Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.